The word of God given to us today is Acts chapter 26, verses 6 through 8. It's on page 233 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the word of God. And now it is because of my hope in what God has promised our ancestors that I am on trial today. This is a promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night. King Agrippa, it is because of this hope that these Jews are accusing me. Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? Amen. Paul was now making his defense at the hearing held by Governor Festus at the request of King Agrippa. To Paul, making his defense was to testify about God. Paul began his defense by saying how the Jews all knew the way he has lived ever since he was a child. Paul, who had nothing to hide in his life, was like a transparent display window. Though he may have misunderstood God, influenced by the Jewish religion that was disconnected from God, and mistaken the law as a prerequisite for redemption, Paul's heart towards God was always pure. So, even when he persecuted the church against the will of God, he has never sought his own desire in an unrighteous and inadequate way. This is because the young Paul's life was full of enthusiasm and passion for God, and not about seeking desires unrighteously and inadequately. Among the Jews who knew the young Paul, all knew about this. Paul's testimony continues in verse 6. And now it is because of my hope in what God has promised our ancestors that I am on trial today. The Greek noun elpis, translated as hope, means desire or hope. Paul was called back to the hearing, not because he violated the positive law of the Roman Empire or the Jewish religious rules. If there was a reason, it would only be Paul's hope for God's promise that has been passed on for generations. Paul's hope was not about gaining the world's wealth and honor or achieving fame and prestige. After heeding to God's calling, Paul's hope never changed whenever, wherever he was. It was only about the hope for God's promise. Let's read the first half of verse 7. This is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night. The Greek verb elpizo, translated as hoping to, is the verbal form of the noun elpis, which means hope. Paul's hope for God's promise mentioned in today's scripture is not Paul's personal hope, but that of the 12 tribes of Israel, in other words, the hope that all Jewish people had. And that was God's promise concerning the Messiah. God had promised about the Messiah through various prophets. It was a promise to send a Messiah to this world to save his people. After King Solomon, the son of David, died, Israel was divided into northern and southern kingdoms. The northern kingdom fell in 722 BC, destroyed by Assyria, and the southern kingdom in 586 BC by the Babylonians. Since then, for hundreds of years, governed by the Persians, Greeks, and Romans, the Jews' hope for their savior Messiah became all the more desperate. The second half of verse 7. King Agrippa, it is because of this hope that the Jews are accusing me. Isn't this strange? Paul's hope and the hope of the high priests who accused Paul were no different. Paul and the group of high priests who accused Paul had the same hope for the Messiah that God had promised. However, Paul, who had a hope for the Messiah, was accused by the group of high priests who held the very same hope. What should we make out of this situation? True faith is not determined by the act of faith, but by the subject of faith. Those who go to a shaman to perform a ritual are not afraid of paying huge amount of donation, and the way they pray with their two hands put together seems somewhat dignified even. With such acts alone, they seem to have great faith. However, because the subject of their faith is merely a ghostly ghost, their faith is not a true faith that builds up the people straight, but a mere superstition that disillusions the people. As such, the subject of faith determines true faith. Paul and the group of high priests who accused Paul all believed in the Lord God. And they all had a hope for the Messiah that God had promised. But the Messiah that the group of high priests hoped for was a political one. They were certain that God would send them a political Messiah who would drive the Roman Empire away and bring them political independence and prosperity. From such secular standpoint, the humble Jesus, who was from Nazareth, a shanty town, was no Messiah, but a mere fraudster claiming to be the Messiah. The group of high priests crucifying Jesus was perhaps only natural given their perspective on the Messiah. Paul, in his early years, also had the same perspective on the Messiah. The young Paul took the lead in persecuting the church because he viewed the Christians who claimed that Jesus of Nazareth was resurrected after being crucified for claiming to be the Messiah were a deceitful group of people. But after God appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus, he realized that Jesus of Nazareth, whom he had denied, was indeed the Messiah, the Christ. The Messiah sent by God was not a worldly Messiah who would drive out the Roman Empire and bring political independence and prosperity. Jesus of Nazareth died as a sacrifice of the cross to take the place of death for human beings. By breaking death and resurrecting, Jesus of the cross opened the path of eternal life to men. He was the Messiah of eternal salvation sent by God. From that day on, Paul has forsaken the false perspective on Messiah that he has had. To him, the Messiah was Jesus of Nazareth only, and his hope was only Jesus Christ of the cross. Paul and the group of high priests all believed in God in nominal terms. And they all had the same desire for the Messiah that God had promised. However, the Messiah that Paul and the group of high priests hoped for was completely different. The reason for this is that God, the subject of the faith of Paul and that of the high priests, were different. Paul and the group of high priests seemed to believe in the same Lord, but that wasn't true. The high priest believed in the illusion of God, projecting their desire to God that God will send a Messiah who will surely bring political independence and prosperity. They seem to be believing in the same God, but in fact, it wasn't true. On the other hand, to Paul, who met the Lord on the road to Damascus, the object of faith was no longer the illusion of God, but the living, triune God who revealed himself through the Bible. As such, because the God of Paul and the God of the group of high priests differed fundamentally, even though they all hoped for the Messiah that God had promised, the Messiah that they hoped for was bound to be different. If Paul's hope was Jesus Christ, who was actually sent from God, the Messiah the group of high priests hoped for was a fictitious Messiah created by their needs. As a result, Paul's hope for the Messiah led to a frenzied accusation by the group of high priests who were hoping for a Messiah themselves. So, at the hearing, Paul asked the following question. Let's look at verse 8. Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? The "you" mentioned by Paul here does not just refer to the party of King Agrippa and the high-ranking officials of Governor Festus who were sitting in the hearing room. Though not present at the scene, it was Paul's emphasis on all the Jewish people, including the group of high priests, who denied Jesus as the Messiah and the resurrection of Jesus. The group of high priests believed in the illusion of God that they had created. The Messiah to be sent by the illusionary God was also an illusionary Messiah who will bring political independence and prosperity. From that point of view, Jesus of Nazareth was an impostor who claimed to be the Messiah, and the Christians who claimed that Jesus, whom themselves had crucified, has resurrected, were merely a flock of deceitful people. But Paul believed in the living God who revealed himself through the Bible. He has revealed himself from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, as God who created the heavens and the earth. Creation is to make something out of nothing possible. And this is possible only by the omnipotence. Therefore, the Creator God is synonymous with Almighty God. The Creator is the Almighty, and all things are possible to the Almighty. And that very God has made his one and only Son a sacrifice of the cross to save the men from the punishment of death. So then, to that Almighty God, would it be considered incredible to raise his only begotten Son from the dead, who has obeyed his orders and died as a sacrifice of the cross? If God killed his one and only Son, even without such power, could such a God be the Creator, an Almighty Savior? Therefore, Paul could not help but ask why they would hastily conclude that God cannot bring back the dead. This was a declaration that Paul himself believed in this fact without any doubt, and at the same time, it was a desperate plea and appeal that all people in this world should also believe in. But according to verse 24, when Paul's testimony was over, Festus shouted to Paul, "You are out of your mind." Festus concluded that Paul had to be insane to make such groundless comments. Neither did King Agrippa accept Paul's testimony. The time of today's passage is estimated to be around 60 AD. It is about 30 years after the resurrection of Jesus. Among the group of high priests who accused Paul, the older ones were those who actually saw Jesus, who came to this world as the Messiah. However, rather than believing in Jesus as the Messiah, they crucified Jesus, and even after 30 years into this passage, they accused Paul, who testified that Jesus was a Christ, and tried to kill him. It was the opposite for Paul. Paul had never met Jesus, who came to this world when Paul was a young man. Moreover, he denied Jesus and took the lead in persecuting the church. But now, Paul has become a witness to Jesus, proclaiming to the world, why is it that the people would consider it incredible that God raises the dead? Paul was born again as the spearhead of faith who believes that Jesus is the Christ. This was only because of God's grace. This is why in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, Paul confessed as the following: "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God." To Paul, faith that leads to salvation was not the product of one's own efforts, but entirely the gift handed out by God. The triune God came to Paul, who persecuted the church, and gave him as a gift to learn about God and to believe in him. For Paul, the motive of faith was not himself, but God. But it doesn't mean that Paul did nothing about his faith. Paul bit his body to make it his slave and died every day to lead a life of faith with all his might. Paul was able to become a symbol of great faith because he lived a life of faith in the Lord with all his might, more than anyone else. But Paul believed that leading a life of faith with all his might was also the grace of God. If God does not allow such will, such a mind, such action, and such circumstances as grace, then Paul himself knew that leading such a life would be impossible. So Paul looked back into his life and confessed that, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul, leading a life of faith, following the Lord with all his might, was also a precious gift from God. At this point, we realize an important fact. The Jews who had actually seen Jesus, who came to this world as the Messiah, and heard the gospel directly from Jesus, had crucified Jesus on the cross, for they were not given this gift of faith. The group of high priests who were in charge of the word of God fiercely tried to kill Paul, who was testifying about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, was also because they did not receive this gift of faith. Even after listening to Paul's testimony in his court and hearing, Governor Festus concluded that Paul had gone insane, and King Agrippa, who did not accept Paul's testimony, all were irrelevant to this gift of faith. The fact that Paul, who was denying Jesus and leading the persecution of church, received the gift that many people did not receive, was God's special grace given to Paul. Paul did not try to engross the precious gift he received from God. Paul, throughout his life, lived with his heart owed to those who did not receive this precious gift. To live as God's passage, to share the gift of God with as many people as possible, he traveled across the Mediterranean 3 times amidst all the persecution, challenges, and dangers. This is the message our Lord is giving us through his words on this Thanksgiving week. The plans you have set up might not have worked out throughout this year. Some people might have become sick. Some might have experienced disadvantages due to ridiculous slander. Some may have lost their loved ones. Even so, we have absolute condition to give thanks to God. By giving us the precious faith as the gift, God allowed us to live as a man of faith throughout this year. By the faith God has given us, we recognize ourselves. By the faith, we recognized God. By the faith, we recognized Jesus Christ. By the faith, we brought our lives to eternity. By the faith, we overcame the graves of death. As long as we have the faith in Him, God will turn your expectations that has fallen short, your lost health, the disadvantages caused by others' slander, and the loss of your loved ones into good with His arm that is never too short. Sure, we have shown our wills and have given our efforts to keep our faith. However, as we look back on our lives, we cannot deny but confess that even our wills and efforts to keep our faith were possible due to the gift of God given by His grace. At this week of Thanksgiving, let us all give our thanks with all our hearts to God who has given His precious gift to us. Just as Paul has done, let us live as witnesses of God and give our lives as the offerings of thanksgiving by sharing God's gift with as many people as possible, and set our hearts as if we owe those who have not received the gift of God. And let's ask for greater faith to believe every word of God from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, through the very last verse of Revelation chapter 22. In this world of chaos, the only way to protect ourselves, to protect our family, to protect our church, our country, and our mankind is to have full faith in God, whose arm is never too short. And only by faith, all this is possible. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. The true faith begins from knowing that God has given the precious faith to us as a gift. Let us pray. God, we have not been more ethical nor moral than others. Instead, we have lived the opposite way. But God has chosen us and have given us the gift to believe in God, who has prophesied Himself through the words. We believe that God is the Almighty God, who created the heavens and the earth. We believe in God, who split the Red Sea to free His people from slavery of Egypt. God who rained manna and quail. God who led the people with the pillars of cloud and fire. We believe that God allowed the young and unarmed David to defeat the giant Goliath. We believe that God sacrificed His one and only Son on the cross and raised Him back from the dead to give eternal salvation and life to us. We thank you once again with all our hearts for giving us the gift of faith, allowing us to believe in the important gospel, which the people of the world do not believe, in this week of Thanksgiving. With this faith, let all our failure, ordeal, and pain turn into good by God's arm that is never too short. With this faith, let us overcome ourselves, and with this faith, let us overcome the evil and injustice of the world. With this faith, let us protect ourselves. With this faith, let us protect our family. With this faith, let us protect our church. With this faith, let us protect our country. And with this faith, let us protect our mankind. To spread your gift and faith to as many people as possible, let us be like Paul and offer our lives every day as the witnesses of the Lord, as the gift of thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.